We're going to go really method. We're going to get a psycho to play a psycho.
Let's get an actual psycho in. Yeah, he was. That was really good. Yeah,
psycho rules for psycho. Psycho actor psycho rules.
Hello and welcome to Inkling Geeks, a gay geek podcast where we talk about all sorts of geeky things. Sometimes our knowledge is excellent, but sometimes it's a little bit
incomplete.
I don't have an intro.
I do, which is funny.
Take it away, John.
I'm John, that's Nick. We are two gays just following in the footsteps of our historical gay ancestors. This is episode, and that's why I didn't do it, because I don't know what number it is, I forgot. Is it 59? I went 59. I think 59. If it's not, see now you're looking, doing what I did, to go aside and look up the episode number. I think it's 59.
That's fine.
If it's not,
it'll say on the face.
It'll say. I mean, dear listener, if you clicked on it, you know what episode it is. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you can tell me from the future that I'm wrong. Anyway, this is our first episode of 2024. We've had a nice little break. Hope you guys did too. And we're just going to talk about bits and bobs that are happening in the world. We're not going to make it a specific episode about any one thing because we got so much to talk about. We might as well just sort of get through it. Does that sound all right? How are you, Nick? By the way, how are you? Tell the viewers.
Great. I keep doing the sniff snort thing. Wonderful. Just fantastic.
It is winter, I suppose. I must apologize as well because my stomach is really, really gurgly right now. So if you hear it, I'm sorry. I mean, okay. I don't know. I have no idea why.
Because you're so skinny.
Right.
You need to eat some more food.
I've overeaten every single day this past week because Tom's not been around. He's been on holiday. So I was like, I can eat chocolate and pizzas and whatever else. So
I think I've had a cookie every single day this year and I don't feel bad about it.
Every single day this year. That's a nice.
Pretty much every single. I think every single day this year. I think that's the vibe of 2024.
That's an excellent New Year's resolution. I'm going to have a cookie every day.
Every single
day. Put like a little dot on your calendar to make sure that you've done it. So you can look back and be like, I had a cookie every day. And I look fabulous. I had 5 Cadbury's eggs like 20 minutes ago, which is probably why I'm
for
gurgling.
Breakfast. Class. We have our shit so together.
Not a doctor,
now that we're both in our 40s, we are just
yes,
really respecting our bodies and our futures.
I'm in my 40s now, and also that means Taylor Swift is 32, 33. Hang on, she's 89.
I don't know about
34. She's 34 then.
She's doing great.
She's doing great. Happy birthday, Taylor Swift.
Us? Not so much.
by the way. Why are we talking about Taylor Swift, Nicholas?
Oh, because she has the same birthday as you.
She does. She was born on a...
You had it first, though.
I had it first. She's going to try as long as she can, but she'll never catch up. So I was 83 and she was 89, which I only know because of that album title, right?
Of course.
That's not wrong, right?
You didn't make that up. That's correct.
Good. Look at me. I'm such down with the kids. But yes, every time it's my birthday, it's also Taylor's birthday. And she's dating a tight end with the initials TK. Mm. And in my team, there's a tight end with the initials TK as well, who's also very cute. Tucker, if you're listening. NFL reference.
Did you make a sports reference on our gay gig podcast?
I did.
That's offensive. That's so offensive.
Multifaceted. That's offensive.
That's offensive. I don't like that at all. Let's move on. Yes. My birthday, I share my birthday with Justin Timberlake, which is way less fun than it used to be, which is next week. Like my birthday is next week,
okay.
Which is way less fun than it used to be. Like in the 2000s, it was like, yeah, that's sexy and cool. Now it's like, oh, that's sad and all.
That's so funny. No, that's great. I didn't realize that we had such birthday share funness. Birthday sharing. Pop stars. You know what I want to talk about first? Oh, no, sorry, you snapped.
Did you have an order? I was just going to say...
No, I don't have an order. We are orderless.
What did you watch over Christmas, John? Oh, no, wait, you didn't watch it. I watched it over Christmas.
What are you talking about? You know what?
What if season 2?
What if season 2? Yes. Now, I'm going to say as well, tell me how season 2 is like, and you can spoil it a little bit for me, but I haven't seen it, but... the only reason I haven't seen it is because my partner wants to watch it. We finally watched Guardians of the Galaxy volume 3. like last week or so, which is the final film of all of, I've now seen every single film of the MCU.
Fantastic.
Some of them twice. That's a good investment. So, but now we're caught up. So now we're going to start watching the TV shows. I said, let's watch What If, because I want to watch What If season 2. It's over Christmas, blah, blah, blah. So we started watching it. He really likes it. We stopped at the end of season 1. And then it's now this is where we are. So I haven't seen season 2 yet. I fully will intend to. The only thing I've heard about it is that a friend of mine told me that the final like 2 or 3 episodes, whatever, he said, better than any Marvel film. And I was like, okay.
No.
I was like, I don't think it would be better than any Marvel film. But if it's at that kind of caliber that people are saying that, I was like, okay, they must have done something quite interesting again, similar to what they did in the first season. What do you think?
Are you ready? Are you ready for this?
Sorry, that was my blathering. It's your turn now.
So, season two.
How many episodes was it? It was, I think 9 again?
8 or 9, yeah. Something like that. So, there's good, the pros and cons.
Tell me. Yeah, tell me. 1 episode a day for over Christmas.
I don't know how to do this, like, graciously, but the cons are, the whole season was shit, if I'm honest. It was...
Overall, you mean?
Overall, it was not... fun. I watched the first 3 or 4 in a row. And it's just weird fucking stories, like pointless, boring stories. Yeah. Like what if Nebula was in the Nova Corps? And then it's kind of like a cop Blade Runner thing. Okay. And then it's not. And what if Happy Hogan saved Christmas and came? It's like, what? It's just such... picking up these little character threads, it's like, these are not fun what if questions. The whole point of what if is like, take a big swing and see this bonkers alternate reality, yeah. or some big dramatic Marvel event that didn't happen or happened in a different way, that sort of stuff. That's what it's supposed to be about. It just seems like they're like, right, well, we've got Karen Gillan and we've got Sebastian Stan. What can we get them to do voiceover wise?
I was gonna ask
them. We have Hayley Atwell,
yeah.
who I don't dislike. I like Hayley Atwell, but my fucking god, all they do is use Captain fucking Carter in this series. Yeah. And
well, she's the main star now. She's the hit, basically.
Oh god, I do not care.
I think she's great as a concept, but like, if there's no story behind it, what, you know, why we're gonna follow this character, then it's like, okay, well, it's just concept.
Yeah. So a lot of people don't like the fact that it's just obsessively, like, excessively Captain Carter focused, right. Which I agree is like, this was not. She's not a particularly fun character. I like Hayley Atwell. Mm-hmm. She does a great job. Mm-hmm. Good voiceover. It's fine. But it seems like keep making stories just so they can include this character. I'm like, this is boring.
So what's different from the first season? Because you said like the first season, it was kind of a lot of stories. What if, like, not all of them were great. Like the zombie one. I thought that was pointless.
Zombie one was the best one by far. No, by far. Disagree. It's getting its own show. That's how good it was.
You're kidding.
And it was great. Best one by far. By far.
The Walking Dead.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know you don't like it. That's absolutely fair.
I mean, I'm still getting closer to watching The Last of Us, which isn't exactly zombies, but you know.
Oh, that's so good. I know. Watch that. So the bad point is, like, overall, I don't think the majority of the episodes were worthwhile. I think they were done just, I don't know why they were done.
Yeah.
They weren't telling an interesting story. They were barely telling a story in a lot of places.
Right, okay.
The plus side, mm-hmm. the couple of episodes that were done interestingly were really good.
Right, okay, good.
And there is one standout. I know the name. But, I don't know the name.
So you're frozen. Of a character or an episode or what?
Both. Hang on.
I can help with
characters. Hang on. And you'll see. Because I don't want to say the name incorrectly. So there's an episode.
Yeah, go ahead.
Cahorty? Oh,
the Native American one.
Yes. So that episode. Because for a long time I was like, who is this character?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, where did you take this from? And my nerd comic book self would normally be, why have you made up a character?
Yeah.
There's so many Marvel characters. However, it's great.
Okay.
It works. It's such a big swing. It's like, what if the Native Americans had superpowers when the conquistador showed
That's
up?
That's a big swing.
And yeah. It is so satisfying to watch because it's such a great twist in it. It's so Marvel.
Yeah.
She has powers. The way she gets the powers and the powers themselves are fucking great. The character design is brilliant. It's just excellent. Who would have thought that What If season fucking two would pull out this new original character who is excellent. Okay. And I really hope that they bring her into another project.
The comics or something.
Is what I will say.
That's interesting because I didn't realize she was a brand new character for the made by the show.
Comics, cartoon, TV show, film. Any of them will be fine. I think that's, it's a really cool character, cool powers, cool design. I think it works on all of them.
Okay, good. And that's not really spoilery, really. I didn't know that it was made by that it was a new invention for the TV show. Is the voice actor someone significant? Yeah.
No, but they are Native American. So it's okay. And that whole episode is done in her Native American language.
Oh, I see. None of it, yeah,
I all of it is. Well. It's all subtitled. Of it is subtitled, yeah, because obviously the other characters are Spanish, so they speak in that sort of stuff.
Oh, good.
It's really good. It's exactly what If is made for.
Perfect.
The other one is like, what if the Avengers were like King Arthur kind of time shit?
Oh.
Perfect.
Oh, okay.
That's what I love. Because it's stupid. It's complete, makes no sense. But like Wanda's a sorceress and it is Elizabeth Olsen and shit like that.
Oh, you're cool.
Like, great. This is great. Bonkers, stupid shit. That's what you want. Not a slightly different version of a shitty version of one shitty character from Guardians of the Galaxy doing a cop. Like, this is...
Right, okay.
Anyway.
Even though I do kind of like Nebula in her own way. But I know what you mean, though. It's like, you have to like take the big swings, which is...
It's the whole point of it.
The whole point of it,
to do something big and weird and interesting. And so they kind of take that one and Kohori and the final episode is... Because like in season one, I think other than the zombie one, which is great, the big standout is Doctor Strange, right? When he becomes crazy evil and absorbs all the different powers and he's...
Yeah, I mean, I think
Strange Supreme.
Season one had a number of good moments because it was a brand new show. We didn't know what to expect and we expected at least sort of... the setup was like, you know, here's this watcher who is completely separate to these stories, and we're just seeing snippet stories that don't have an impact on each other. And then so the Doctor Strange one, which is kind of weird, it didn't end on a good note as well. It ended up like it wasn't a happy ending. But there was one moment that people sort of grabbed on where Doctor Strange, or whatever he's called, Stephen Strange?
Strange Supreme?
Strange Supreme, that's the one. Why? I don't know. This is not in the show. I watched it twice now. But he basically sort of kind of notices the Watcher is there in this like brief moment. It's like, who said that kind of thing? And people were like, oh my God, it's breaking the mold. It's like episode four. And they're already breaking the mold of what we are to expect. And then, of course, the biggest moment was when Ultron sort of notices him as well.
That's
so
great.
You set up this sort of premise and then you smash the premise in a really interesting creative way. And so that's why then the whole show became, oh, actually, we are going to draw these separate stories together. And that was what was cool about it.
Yeah, season two,
not so much that. Well, they couldn't do the same thing again.
I mean, you could. You could just keep doing good stories.
In a different, yeah,
anyway. But interesting.
Good.
But by the time I got to like the one where like Happy Hogan is saving Christmas just because they got Jon Favreau to do the voice, I'm like, this is awful.
Well, Jon Favreau is like a dear heart of the Marvel world.
Yeah, but the story is stupid and it's so obvious. They're like, none of the Avengers are there, but none of them speak because like we only have Jon Favreau or Kat Dennings.
Yeah.
So like all of, oh, in this world, they're like, what is...
Well,
the point of this, it's stupid.
I thought the point of that one was to be like a piss take of Die Hard, because that was a Christmas.
Yeah, I guess. Thing.
Stupid, you didn't even get that. Okay, cool. I mean, I'm looking forward to watching it. It's part of the
expectations list, you know? Here, and you'll enjoy it. But if your expectations are here, you're like,
yeah. I'm not going to expect like a groundbreaking thing like the first season.
No, I wouldn't recommend that. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they do something with the characters. Do you think they're going to do anything with Captain Carter?
Yes.
Do you think they'll make her into it?
Oh, well, they had her in Multiverse of Madness, so that was kind of like,
yeah,
that was a really good way of testing the waters for concepts. So I remember obviously there was a Captain Carter that we'll put her in like a small part of this film as like a fun sort of thing, see how the audiences react, and if they like her, we'll keep her. If they don't like her, then we'll do it again. Similar to, I think you sent me the TikTok about the Eternals being a sort of a test run for. Maybe the X-Men were there all along and they just did nothing. Because that was the same kind of concept for the Eternals. Yeah. And see how people responded to that one.
Everyone hated it.
Which was kind of mixed, I think.
Everyone hated it. So I was like, right, we won't do that for the X-Men.
I didn't hate good it, idea. But people hated the film, which is a,
no, everyone, which is a shame. Yeah.
And there's a third one as well. I can't remember, but I'll probably think of it. Maybe.
I will say that's a very Marvel thing to do. Mm-hmm. Like in the actual comics, a lot of the stuff that they did back in the early 60s were like one shot, like Marvel spotlight kind of things. Mm-hmm. So they would put out these bonkers characters with different concepts and they would try them out. And that's how they would, if they sold really well, they'd be like, right, they get their own kind of comic, that sort of thing. Which I love. That's the whole point of it. That's great.
So you mentioned Marvel Spotlight because I didn't realize that was a comic book thing. Mm-hmm. Because I saw a nice little segue to our...
Oh, lovely. Yes. Yes.
Marvel Spotlight
segueing on.
Is now a...
Lovely.
Yeah. Is now a thing on TV. They're calling this new new Echo show, which came out like last week, I think it was.
Yeah.
It's got they have the Marvel Studios kind of logo and then Marvel Spotlight. And I was like, hang on, did I miss this? What is this?
I don't know what it means.
So, I looked into it. I'll tell you.
Thank God. I was like, John will know. I'm not going to look into
first it. First of all, John will know. This is the first show that they're doing it for, Marvel Spotlight. And it's just sort of, what they're trying to do is make a sort of a sub studio. And I think it's going to be just for TV shows from now on. We'll see what the next one is if they keep going. Again, they're testing the waters in a way.
Great.
So Marvel Spotlight is meant to be a show where it's going to be clear to the audience that you don't have to watch anything else in order to appreciate the story. What they're going to do is they're going to have a spotlight on like one particular character or one story and just tell that story, period. And so the idea is go deeper into the character. You don't have to watch anything else, but if you have seen everything else, you'll understand. You'll get a bit more, but it's not required. So,
the name comes
from the comics.
Yeah, that changes a lot of what my kind of biggest criticisms are with the show.
Yeah,
knowing that does change it a bit. Yeah. I think the biggest criticism I have is like I don't know what the point of doing the show now is. Like it doesn't feel if it's part of the big buildup or the big big plan. It doesn't feel necessary. It doesn't feel like it has a place in the bigger storytelling.
No, I don't think it adds to that at all.
It's just, which if I'd known that, if that's the point, that's fine.
But the thing is, that's great. Why did, then I'm confused about why this wasn't more announced, more of a big deal. I mean, the show itself wasn't really well promoted, was it?
I think when it was originally announced, people thought, Marvel and Disney thought people would give more of a shit, but after the year we had last year with all of their tanking TV shows, people don't care anymore. Just we've made it. Just get it out.
Sure.
It ticks a lot of diversity boxes with the character and the background and making of it, which is by far the best part of it.
Yeah.
So get it out.
Yeah. I like that separately to the whole Marvel Spotlight thing. If you want to focus on a character, like if I'm thinking of the previous batch of TV shows, like Moon Knight could have been a Marvel Spotlight kind of thing. It didn't have any impact on anything else,
Yeah.
You did have a bit of diversity with the Egyptian, not motif, but like Egyptian characters, the setting, etc. And main showrunner was Egyptian as well. He did that on purpose.
Shame they couldn't have gotten an Egyptian actor. It's weird that they got...
Not for Steven Grant, but for like what's his name? Layla.
Yeah, she was.
Which I did like as well. And maybe some other ones. Maybe Kamala Khan could have been a spotlight as well. But then, of course, she has a bigger sort of impact on the greater MCU. What was I going to say, though? So, like, why... So they kind of... It's kind of like they're acknowledging the fact that they can't keep being the same thing. The studios, And here we are, two white guys at the podcast talking about our opinion, how great it is. But like, I think it's a good thing. They're kind of recognizing that, hang on, we got to try something different now.
Yes.
I don't know why they didn't promote it more. Cause I thought the show was great. I've got some nitpicks about it, but I thought it was really good. I was surprised. I was like, oh, this is quite nice. Quite a good show.
I was surprised as well. My big nitpick is like, I don't know what the point of this is. Mm-hmm. Like in the Marvel framework, I'm like, right, let's watch this show. It's like, what's the point of this show? Yeah. There isn't one. Apart from, I think the character is great. I think the actress who plays her is great. Mm-hmm. I like the mythos behind it. The fight scenes are incredible. I like the way the, you know, the cinematography, the way they like cut the sound and everything like that.
That was really cool.
It has a lot of potential and it's really good and I really enjoyed it. But it's kind of like, is this a Marvel thing? Does it really matter? It bugged me a bit.
It fits.
Only because that's what we're used to. Yeah. I'm used to it being that. I was like, who is this for? Like, what was the point of making this?
I get it.
When it could have just been, just to make this show. I was like, oh, fair enough.
Yeah, and I think that if they do that, if that's what it was, then I think it did it really well. Like, it doesn't...
Yeah.
I think they're recognizing that not everything that they put out has to be pushing the Marvel MCU soap opera forward a little bit. Forward. You know what I mean? Yeah.
True.
And if they sort of just recognize that and let people watch it if they want to, and if they think it's good, they're not going to feel like they have pressure. You know, I can't watch the Marvels because I never watched the show that introduces these characters. And they sort of say, you don't have to.
If that's the approach they take with future TV projects, future Disney Plus thing, I think that's great.
Yeah.
Like if you want to keep, there's too much stuff going on anyway. If you want to keep the movies, like the central line that's going off.
Mm-hmm.
Central line,
London. The second timeline that's going
on. Oh, God. And then just have like little deep dives or little extra bits into either a situation or a character.
Or a character.
Because like we couldn't include this whole dramatic, emotional thing in the film. So we had to cut it. But look, you know what? We could do a 5 episodes on
which is Wanda
and Vision falling in love in Edinburgh. You know, that's me because I love Wanda. But you know, something like that. Something like, we didn't have time to explore this, but we could do like a little thing off. You don't.
Well,
that would be wonderful.
I think that's a really good point because you mentioned as well, it doesn't have to be like in the present either. I think
it feels like if they did that, which, you know, we're getting to it because then they may not be doing that. It feels like in how a lot of the comics or like the ones I used to read, the reprints, they would have a second story on the back. So they would have like the normal story and then they'd have like a little...
Like a side backstory, like a different thing. You flip the thing upside down and you read it again.
Yeah, and it would be either like an origin story for Emma Frost or this weird thing that happened when Jean Grey was living with Misty Knight, or just nothing to do with the actual issue. But it's like, here's a short story, Magneto's origin at one point.
It's like DLC.
Like little, I don't, what is that?
It's downloadable content. It's like extra to the video game.
A little side quest. It was,
Yeah.
Okay. No. I tried to be gay. No,
it was very good.
Little side quest.
Not quite the same as the side quest, but DLC is like just extra story that isn't part of the main story that you can sort of like DLC can be like a character. Like when you play Batman, you can have a DLC as Catwoman as well, for example.
Or as the second story in the back of a comic book.
Yeah, exactly. That's like DLC. It's like DLC. Anyway,
I would love that if that's what they do with their future Disney Plus shows, where you can watch them if you want to watch them.
Yeah,
I think that's. I hope that's what they do.
I mean, they could do this. Like, if they keep that with films as well, like when they did,
it cost a lot of money to make. Oh, it was supposed to cost a lot of money to make their shows as well, doesn't it?
Depends on how much CGI there is. I think there wasn't a lot in Echo, which I really appreciated.
And they worked in tandem. I'm hoping they said they did work in collaboration with the
Choctaw Nation,
Choctaw community.
I know, I love which that.
I hope that helps with that sort of stuff. It felt very genuine.
I watched the last episode and I was like, people are gonna go to this powwow and they're gonna figure out when the next one is.
I thought that too. Is that a bad thing if you have a load of white Marvel fans showing up to like this big event? Or is that like,
I think that's
a good one?
I think it's good because the Marvel fans that will go to experience the Choctaw Nation powwow, whatever it is, that if it's I don't even know if it's a real thing. Maybe it's like based on a real thing, but they'll have good intentions. Just they're gonna go be like, "Hi, this is where the Echo film, the TV show, was shot." It's great.
I love it.
Yeah, so I love I love all of that. The ethnic diversity, which is what I loved about the Kamala Khan show as well. It's like I love seeing this.
Yes,
you know, entrance, this window into this community, which is great. And I think the fact that Kingpin goes to fucking Oklahoma,
gets
his ass kicked, and he's like, he does it for a good reason. I'll get on him in a little bit, but like also, like it obviously hired actors who are all indigenous or Native American. Mm-hmm. And it made sign language as well. Not an extra thing. Like it was just the way they communicated and it worked really well. The actor who plays Echo, Maya Lopez, first of all, from Wisconsin. And she is obviously deaf in real life, and I didn't know this as well, but the prosthetic leg thing, that's an actor thing, that's not a character thing. The actor
it's not a character thing at all. her powers are completely not that.
Yes.
And I was like, all the way through, and like, all, I was like, her powers are to echo people's abilities, exactly. Right? Did I make that up? But I like how they did And I like that kind of thing. It's a little bit, you know, native, spiritual, mystical, maybe that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see if the showrunners or writers or producers.
I saw a mention. I don't know if it was a. I saw a video where the showrunner, Sydney Freeland. I don't know if she's what her ethnicity is, but she was basically like, yeah, the powers in the comics are stupid. She just copies people. Like it's just like Taskmaster. We're going to do something totally different. Yeah. With her background. And I think people generally were like, sure, okay, yeah, fine.
Sydney Freeland is a Native American Navajo filmmaker.
Navajo, okay. Navajo is more like Southwest.
New Mexico?
New Mexico, yeah. Mostly Mexico, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, we've already had Taskmaster. And it was a cool power, but it was nice to do something different with it. Yeah, my main thing was like, was this done by an actual Native writer or showrunner or something? And it was, so.
Yeah, good.
I was expecting to be like, what a fucking waste of fucking time. Piece of shit. And it was just really enjoyable to watch. It's also like 33 minutes per episode. Like,
I know.
Easy watch.
I wanted to, like, towards the end of watching these five episodes, I was like looking for things to be upset about. And I'm just like, is this like just a movie that could have been TV show that could have been a movie? But I didn't, I never felt like there was fluff. There was never fluff in any episode. It did feel episodic because you're focusing on one of the women each episode, which I think was great. It gave it a bit of structure. The villain Fisk, which I think now that we're over the fact, like, oh my God, they cast the same actor as the Netflix show, which by the way, sorry, sidetrack for a second. The Netflix shows are now on Disney Plus.
Yeah. They've been on there for a while.
But I just noticed it like the other day.
Oh, okay. They've been on there for a while.
But they don't separate the seasons in like timeline order. They just have like when Daredevil season one came out, they have all three seasons of Daredevil. You can watch them all. So you have to be careful if you want to watch it in timeline order, basically. Which is basically the release order of each season.
Yeah.
So you watch Daredevil.
The Defenders timeline, you mean?
Is that what it is? Where's that article, Nicholas? I'm waiting for you to put that article out. Please. God. I gave up two episodes into Iron Fist, and I kind of want to just keep going.
No, don't do it.
People say don't watch it. They said season two was a little bit better.
No, it wasn't.
No?
It wasn't. No.
When is Bullseye in it? Is he season three
of Daredevil?
Okay, so they were talking.
He's sexy. He's so hot. The guy who plays him is a psycho, and he's so hot.
The guy who plays him is a psycho.
Well, no, he plays him really well as a psycho. Okay. Like, he's a psycho.
I was like, that's quite a bold thing to make about the act.
And super hot, like super white.
We're gonna go really method. We're gonna get a psycho to play
Let's get an actual psycho in. Yeah, he was. That was really good. Yeah.
Psycho roles for psycho. Psycho actor psycho roles.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was, anyway, I thought about Bullseye because doesn't he like have something to do with the black daggers that crossing? You see all the tattoo and echo of some of the henchmen have like these two crossed knives or whatever. Is that tenuous?
Probably. And they all work together.
Fair enough.
They were all Fisk people, so.
Fisk, I thought they did Fisk really well. Because, so we're over the fact that it's, we got Vincent D'Onofrio to play the character again. Because we saw it in Hawkeye. We're like, okay, fine, over it now.
Yeah.
Now that we have him, and now that we know that Charlie Cox is Daredevil, he's been in other things as well. We're over that, so now we just focus on the character. And I think that the villain, the character of the villain, I think they did him really well because he's still not completely like, yeah, I get what you're doing, but he's more sympathetic.
You understand? Yeah, he's not this batshit crazy person. Mm-hmm. You understand.
There's a moment when
motivation, but he's also a piece of shit.
He's such a piece of shit. Yeah, he's awful. It's great. He's an awful person. And there's a moment when he's like, he beats up the guy in the alley who didn't give Maya some ice cream. Right?
Fuck him. He deserves to get beaten up.
He does. But then he goes in there. So obviously, like, here we go. We're already on Kingpin's side. Yep. So I'm shouting a little bit now. But
that's fine. I'm getting it. It's a heated debate.
And then he gets on the phone and he's like, I need a new suit. Sorry, spoilers. I need a new suit. I don't want Maya to see. And I was like, oh, okay. That's like a really sort of, you can tell that he does care for this child in a way. So it gave him a bit more depth, a bit more sort of sympathy. Even though he is the villain, he's a beggar. He gets what he's coming to. And then it made the villain, I think he could be like another villain where he just sort of reoccurs. Yeah. Instead of the curse of having a one-shot villain that is really ineffective.
He's also, come back. Because because he's a street level human, totally human villain, you kind of can't defeat him because he's a representation of like the world sucks.
Yeah.
He's a capitalist. There will always be people that are in power, have power, and you can't beat them. He's not a maniacal, purple-faced, crazy person who wants to wipe out half of reality that you have to like defeat and kill. He's just a piece of shit, part of this society that there will always be a piece. There will always be assholes like that.
You have to deal with him, not necessarily defeat him. Yeah. And they defeat him in a really clever way as well. I'm really surprised. I'm really pleased that they didn't go for some CGI beatdown for the last sort of climactic scene. They just sort of beat him because, you know, there's a bit of like action when they beat up the henchmen, and then she kind of just like tries to heal him basically, which is, I think, is really touching. And he's changed as a character. They're both changed as characters. So good for character progression, good for story. And now he's going to become a mayor, probably, of New York.
Yeah, which I think he has done, right? He's done it. I'm sure he's done it in the comics.
Probably. My only nitpick about the show that I can think of is I was a bit confused on the character's motivation in the beginning. I was like, why is she here? What is she doing? I didn't follow along with...
It was kind of the point of, what's the point of this show? Mm-hmm. Like, why do we care about this storyline? Why do we care about this character?
Yeah.
Because... You know, she was in Hawkeye, but there was so much going on in Hawkeye, and we went there for Echo. No offense, Maya. We were there for Yelena. And then Yelena
and
Kate
Bishop,
the dog,
then Vincent maybe D'Onofrio, Clint.
And then someone might be interested in Clint. But, you know, so she was in it, and you're like, oh, we get it. It didn't have that kind of...
And nobody expected
we know
her.
Here we go. Oh, I get it. I'm on her side. Yeah. It was a little bit fuzzy.
I mean, they tied her in because of Clint Barton's hearing loss. And I thought that was, again, it was diversity inclusion. It's like, let's put some hard of hearing people so we have Stanley, which is great. I mean, one of my best friends from America is an interpreter. He's like, so happy that this happened. That was the tie-in. But other than that, we didn't really expect Echo, a character, to be in a story about Hawkeye. And Kate Bishop.
Yeah.
You know.
Kate the Bishop.
So, yeah. Other than that, like, I, everyone who's listening who hasn't seen it already should go see it. I mean, go see it.
Watch
go
it.
See your TV show and see
bingeable.
The show.
It's bingeable. And the fact that they did a bingeable as well, Netflix style. They released all 5 episodes in one hit, so you don't have to wait. Kind of fits in with if that's what they're going to do with this kind of, like, spotlight.
Yeah. Yeah, good.
Vibes. I really like it.
Question.
Gives me hope.
Why... I think I read somewhere that it got like the lowest rating or the lowest viewership of all Marvel titles.
Probably
so far.
Because no one cares.
Which was it?
Like, you know, it also came out post Marvel's Christmas time. It was
January,
just,
I suppose.
It's just such a time slot for it.
It's a shame.
Everything's a bit.
We here at Incomplete Geeks give it 2 thumbs up. Go watch it.
Yeah. You know, we watched other things. So that we could talk about them for the podcast. And I watched this so that I could talk about it on the podcast. Oh. And unlike the other things, I don't regret it. It was not a waste of time.
The other things that I force you to watch so that we could talk about on the podcast.
Society forced me to watch. But this felt like a good use of time. And I enjoyed the stories. It's just nice to have stories told by different types of people, different people, rather than the same thing.
Yes, and that is the strength. I think that is the strength about...
And having that little bubble of freedoms, like, just tell the story. I think that's really a positive thing.
Good.
Rather than being like, right, well, our lead character for the next 10 movie franchises has to be this person, and that, you know.
It was a gamble.
Just tell the story.
I mean, it was a gamble, and they sort of, it didn't come through. So, Kevin, if you're listening, keep doing this.
Just let people have these stories and watch these stories, but without kind of like...
Without
it's not
extra,
forced.
Without,
it doesn't feel without, like it's not performative.
Without
it's
responsibility, like, necessarily, to the greater. Unless it does, then it's like, you know.
In the same way that the What If story, like, that is a... Mm-hmm. It's just done as like, well, this is a fun story. Let's do this interesting. And the character just organically, people love it because it worked really well.
Ooh,
if
Captain
they hadn't
Carter.
Tried it. Huh?
Captain Carter, you mean?
Fucking Carter. No.
Gahori.
And if he hadn't done that, or if they said, right, we're going for the next phase, we have to have a Native American character, you know, they would have prescribed it too much, or they would have, you know, that's how I feel about Falcon, Sam Wilson. I feel like a lot of it, you know, they were trying to make choices. It's like, right, they need a person of color to be the lead and that sort of stuff. And it feels like, love this character. And it was like, we don't really.
Well, Sam Wilson was also...
Whereas it did work with Black Panther. Whereas, like, here's this character, like, because that's a fucking cool story. It's a fucking cool back, you know, whatever. Anyway, sorry, I'm a white guy talking about race. Shut up, Nick. Let's move on.
What's the term in Echo? Is it Nahoro? Nahori? That, like, means white people.
Oh,
the little bit, the biscuits guy says a couple times, like, oh, these Nahoros. Oh, I should have written it down. I forgot already. I'll figure it out.
We would have pronounced it wrong either way. So you know what?
It's,
own it.
It's my new gringos, basically.
We're terrible. Yeah, we're exactly. We suck.
So good on that.
But anyway, it came out at a time when projects were just universally bombing because they were making content, the same as the Marvels and everything. For audiences that don't consume that way anymore. People don't go to the cinema the way they used to. They don't watch TV the way they used to. And it's like, you have to kind of adjust, which I hope this is.
To get people to go to the cinema, you have to have a big event like Endgame.
You have to, or make something, I don't know, or try, I don't know. Yeah, or...
Like Barbie and
Oppenheimer. Rather than just making a sequel to a film that did well a few years ago, and they thought, let's make another one.
I feel like you're talking about Aquaman 2, Legend of the
Lost
Kingdom.
I might be talking about Aquaman 2.
I saw that. And I,
when did that come out? Did that come out before Christmas?
I think it was no reviews, not much promotion. I think it was like just before Christmas it came out. And
We were walking somewhere and I saw a poster for it. We were walking in Leicester Square, wherever the hell we'd been, and it was the poster up. And I'm like, what the fuck? Why is this out?
And then it turns out that, let's just say that I'm glad I didn't pay for the ticket, but we had like free tickets and there was nothing else I was on. It was either that or like Wonka. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't really feel like Wonka.
No, I don't want to.
But Tom was like, I just like, you know what I say about every film. I say that I love it. The action was great. Da, 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 da. We watched this film in the cinema and he came out and he was like, that was not a good film.
I can't even.
The man who loves everything that he sees is just like, that was really.
I can't even give awkward. It that.
Did you see it?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought. So
feel free to spoil it.
I'm definitely going to spoil this. It was such a mess. It was so all over the place. There are moments where these characters will start, like, there's a lot of tone shifts and things just, the one thing that Tom said, he was like, I feel like there was a lot of cuts, like things that were missing, like story-wise and like tone-wise. There are all these shifts that happen and we don't know how we got from A to B. There's a moment where Aquaman has to sort of go break out his brother, I forget his name, Patrick Wilson.
Orm. That's his brother? Orm. I thought there was... Orm. I thought that was his dad.
You thought it was his dad? No, his dad is Javier Bardem. That's a Little Mermaid.
His dad was the Hawaiian.
I think he's Maori. The Tamoyo Morrison.
Sorry, that's my fault. I should have remembered that.
The New Zealand
from the classic that was Aquaman.
And his mom was Nicole Kidman. Who I'll just say appears in like sort of. You know, there's like a sort of, in the last 5 years, I got married, I had a baby. And then like, you see like photos of her, Nicole Kidman, as like, she's like back in the life kind of thing. And then she's like never spoken of, never. Ugh. Then she kind of disappears. And then there's like a sort of an attack on Atlantis. And then she's suddenly there like riding an orca and sort of doing high kicks in the sea. Like, we must protect it. Talking to Amber Heard. We must protect the city. And she's doing some CGI hi-ya. And I was like, what the fuck? Where did she come from? Was she there? I didn't realize. But yeah, it's just there's stuff like that. They just kind of come out of nowhere. There's a point. Okay, so he breaks out Orm, which is like in the desert, like underground in the desert. They've got a really nice octopus, which I think is the best part of the movie. They had an octopus. I forget what the name is, but it just sort of is a CGI octopus that is like the tech expert. He goes in, he got a good, like, they break into this underground prison and the octopus sort of goes into this like a vent because he can fit and he goes, like does things, opens things. And Aquaman's like, oh, thanks for coming in. You know, it's just like, it's fantastic. And they treat the octopus like he's some weird ass, like, sidekick, like, ooh, you got that octopus, a cephalopod? Ooh, how do you do this? Duh. Anyway, it's bizarre, but I love
it. Sounds great so far.
I know. Yeah. So they break out Patrick Wilson, who's been, because he's been, apparently, because he's been under the desert for like the last 5 years. He's super like gaunt and really thick. He has this big ass beard, which is so obviously like glued to his face.
Just stuck.
And this long hair, really horrible makeup. And like, they managed to get him out of this prison. And as soon as he touches the ocean, gets to the sea, he like sort of bursts out. He's like got all his muscles back and whatever. And he's like, and then he helps Aquaman sort of punch the rest of the prison guards. The very next scene, like no transition. He's suddenly there, like in a boat, in a underwater boat together. And he's like clean shaven, hair's back to normal. And it's like, what happened? Like, they're talking about where they have to go next. Oh, we have to go find so-and-so, whatever the MacGuffin is. We got to do this. And like, there's a battle coming, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, he's just suddenly there. I know you're yawning because it's
oh, sorry. No, I'm listening. Yes.
Is this how I tell stories that you just like,
they've got to get something? Is that the premise of the film?
The premise of the film is you've got Manta Ray.
Black Manta?
Black Manta. Is it Manta? Whatever. Black Mamba?
Well, he's called Black Manta, but I'm wondering if they changed that because it sounds racist.
Maybe. I should probably check it up before I say that, but I think is it the same? It's the actor's called Yahya Abdul-Mateen, and I think it's the same guy who does Morpheus in the recent Matrix one.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Black Manta in the films Aquaman and The Lost Kingdom, and also... Morpheus in the Matrix.
Cool.
Resurrections. Cool, same guy. So he's the best. He's the best character because you like understand why. He's basically still upset about Aquaman killing his dad. And he finds this like old trident.
So he's the next Black Manta.
Sure. but he's in Antarctica searching for this ancient trident that was like basically dark magic and old kingdom, whatever. And he gets extra powers for it, and he gets super strong, and he's after this fuel, this like ore that he's burning to fuel this power, and also the fuel is making climate change across the globe.
Oh no.
Awful. Yeah, I know. Mm. We don't know what's happening. There's storms everywhere. Anyway, what am I talking about? So there's like a lot of tonal shifts. So in the beginning, you have Aquaman sort of saying really serious, like, oh, we must protect the baby and we do this and climate change. As soon as he breaks out Orm, he's like back to his wisecracking self. And he's like making jokes and doing silly things. I'm like, where did this happen? Like, why do we suddenly have to sort of laugh at you again? And then like Black Manta kidnaps the baby because what they're after is just Aquaman's blood to break the curse of the old kingdom, whatever. And there's a big sort of fight. Oh, Jimmy Woo's in it as well. The guy who plays Jimmy Woo.
Oh, from like, but not actually Jimmy Woo.
No, not Jimmy Woo. Not the character.
So that's wrong.
Randall Park, who plays Jimmy Woo, is in this as some sort of like scientist working for Black Manta who kind of defects to Aquaman's side.
And even he couldn't save this.
No, but he like, does heroic protect the baby? No, he's great though. He's fine.
He's great.
And... you know what? I forget even how they sort of do it, how they beat him in the end, but it was just so they go back to underwater Antarctica. And then it ends.
Okay.
So at the very end, I need to mention this last bit, which really annoyed me. He basically has been trying to convince the council of underwater kings and queens, whatever.
Of course. Yes.
No, we have council. To make our presence known to the overworld, the land dwellers, because that's how we need to progress as a people, whatever. And they're like, no, no, no. And finally, because he wins, he's like, I'm going to do it. So he goes to the surface and say, hey, let's work together to put an end to this climate change. Here's what happened. We fixed it, but we're going to work together. Da, da, da. So he's got this like press conference and like, in like, New York Harbor or something like that. He's got the water behind him and he's sort of like, and I'm here as an ambassador of Atlantis and we're going to bring about a new stage of, you know, cooperation, whatever. And the camera zooms in him and he's like, and I am Aquaman. Like laughs a bit. And just sort of like throws the mic down and walks off camera. And I'm like, that was the weirdest fucking thing because he's kind of trying, is he trying to do I am Iron Man?
And I'm Iron Man.
And then but the way he does it, he's like, whatever Jason Momoa was given for his direction, he sort of makes it really awkward and sort of laughy, goofy, and sort of walks off. It's just so awkward. And then it just made me think about how this is the final film of this universe.
That's the note that DCEU went out on.
And I'm Aquaman, I'm the king of Atlantis. And then just walks off. I was like, what kind of tripe is this? And that's all,
folks. Oh my god.
Oh, oh and god. And Patrick Wilson eats a cockroach, a CGI cockroach, and it's meant to be like a okay. like a fun bit that they call back to in the post credit scene. But I was just like, this is, first of all, it's not a real cockroach, and also this isn't funny. Yeah, misbeats. I don't know what they were doing. It was. It's. I've just saved you from having to ever watch it. So it's not going to win any awards. Poor Patrick Wilson. I like him as an actor.
I like Patrick Wilson. He's hot.
And he's hot. Yeah.
I love Momoa. He's hot too. He'll be back as Lobo, so it's fine. I
think what's Lobo?
I think he's supposed to. He is Lobo. I don't know why they made him Aquaman. He's just Lobo. So
what
he's
is
going to be?
But what is it? What is this?
It's a Superman character. He's like a bounty hunting alien villain kind of thing. Who's cool. He like rides around on a space motorbike. He's got long hair and like gruff voice and talks and like and that kind of shit. So he's like a bad guy. He's a bad guy because he's like usually got the bounties on Superman or something like that. But he's not like. Like, he's not going to kill you for the sake of it. He's like, I don't care. Okay, I'm going to go.
Oh, okay.
He's got this very... It's pure Momoa.
Yeah.
And he looks like Momoa just with, like, black and white face paint on.
Oh,
so
cool.
Hopefully that's what he'll come back as.
Probably.
More Momoa, please.
He's going to pull a Chris Evans. He's going to give it a few years of separation.
Yeah.
And then new universe. He'll come back as another character.
And Michael B. Jordan. You know? Go from...
Yes, yes. That was even less time, wasn't it?
Both human torches go over to... a revamp of the franchise.
Oh dear.
Yeah, if he comes back as Lobo, that'd be great. I think that'll be he's perfect for that.
I mean, Nicole Kidman was weird.
She's always weird. She's such a waste of every project's budget. They keep putting her in stuff which is fucking awful.
I mean, she was like
and costs a fortune.
I think her presence in the first Aquaman film was great. She was basically just the voice of the thingy, and she appears at the end. Like she's the reward you get at the end. But to have her as in this film as like a as one of the main actors, and she doesn't do anything really.
I didn't like it when, like, yeah, and when they made her do the fight scene in the first one, I'm like, this is awkward and uncomfortable.
I forgot
this
that
is,
part.
This is not your natural environment. This is not your arena, Nicole.
Amber Heard was fine. Like there was nothing weird about what she did. She basically is like she uses her powers. I get that they don't want to put her in the film too much because of that weird legal shit that she's gone through, but also. It's fine.
If,
like she gets injured, so she spends most of the film in the hospital bed, which comes back at the end to save the day, and it's all fine.
Do you feel like that was added afterwards?
What, like the hospital bed?
Oh, she's injured. And then cut all her scenes.
Looks like it's maybe. Just me and my brother Orm to go. Yeah. We have to do this now. Who else is in it that's notable? I don't remember.
I don't know.
So
couldn't tell you.
What's on deck? What's coming forward that we can look forward to?
I don't fucking know.
Like anything geeky?
We did a whole episode on this. We did a whole last episode.
Oh, I know we did. Episode. Yeah, but you talked. You didn't even know when stuff was coming out.
I don't know anything anymore. I've kind of lost track. Like the only film this year is Deadpool, right?
Yeah, it's the only it's MCU the only film, and there's no James Gunn's DC. Isn't
no, he's. I think he's year, starting with he's starting with Superman, so he's only writing that. It's gonna take that's.
Oh, jeez, it's gonna be
that'll
ages.
Take ages.
What else?
The only thing I'm looking forward to, like that I know off the top of my head, is Agatha.
Oh yeah, that's end of this year though, isn't it? Looks like we're gonna have to find proper content for this podcast.
Fuck, we're gonna have to make effort. We're gonna have to have
that's fine.
Other opinions. It's fine.
As soon as I finish a lot of TV shows that I want to get through. It'll be good. Any other non like comic book kind of TV shows that are interesting?
No, we have a date. It's summer for House of the Dragon, so that'll be
fun.
Oh,
right, yeah.
Psyched for that.
Summer, oh gosh.
I know, but it does need to be in summertime. That's fine.
It's fine if they do it in the summertime, but they kind of stop doing those really dark scenes because if it's the summertime.
He's gone now, hasn't he? Miguel, or whatever.
Who is it?
He's fine. He's finally gone. He left after last season.
What was he before? Was he showrunner or a director or what?
Director, but he's done. He did Game of Thrones as well,
right?
Didn't he?
Okay,
and House of the Dragon.
And we've still got George R.R. Martin as a showrunner as well.
Good. Yeah.
Good. He'll make sure that show's good. I'm looking forward to that one as well. So yeah, if you, dear listener, want to hear of anything else that wants that is coming out that we should talk about. Right in. We'll accept some suggestions. If you have any things that we missed, let us know. If you have any complaints, send them my
way. X-Men the Animated Series. That's coming out.
Yes! X-Men Animated Series. I will...
X-Men 97.
Wait! Speaking of, before I get to our little outro thing, we're going to watch Dark Phoenix. I'm literally rewatching X-Men 97. No, X-Men 90s cartoon. And I'm up to the point of where the next episode for me is Dark Phoenix. Or the Phoenix Saga.
Phoenix.
And you told me not to watch it.
Don't watch it yet, because... I want to talk about it. I want to talk, and as someone who's never read the comics, I want to kind of take you through that. So hopefully that's on one of our next projects. So give me time. I need to make sure I'm like researching properly.
So looking forward.
We're going to go through first the Phoenix Saga and then the Dark Phoenix Saga.
But I'm okay to just skip those episodes. I can continue watching afterwards.
It's the cartoon. You're fine. Fine, okay. They don't connect outside of that in almost any way.
Okay,
so you're fine.
Cool. So other than that, dear listener, if you have any suggestions, comments, write in, let us know. incompletegeekspodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to reach out on TikTok or Instagram, our handles there are @incompletegeeks. Give us a like, follow if you don't follow already, share it with your friends. Every little bit helps.
Yeah.
That's it.
Message us. Chat to us. Tell us geeky things and what you want to talk about. Let's do some live things.
Suggestions for like episodes, content, and also what other things we can do. Like we're talking about doing a Twitch, whatever. Lot of things.
Just call us idiots if we got something wrong. Like people love to tell us when we get stuff wrong.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely
We know you want to, dear listener.
It now. You know what? I'm sure we got a load wrong in this episode. Like, I'm really sorry. But you know what? We're not complete geeks.
But we are working on it.
Thanks for listening.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Don't.